Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Stu and Blake.
Hello. Before we start this episode of the MMA Fan Podcast, we need to tell you about our sponsor, Free Train. Free Train do these fantastic running vests for you to run in, hit the bag in, and they keep your phone close to your chest. No more do you need to have your phone rumbling around in your pocket when you run or at an awkward angle on your arm. You can keep it on your chest with easy access to your phone whenever you go training. And what can the people do, Stu, if they want to get a vest?
Simple. Head over to www.freetrain.com. Have a look, see what you like. And when you pop it in the basket, just before you check out, pop in the code MMA fan and save yourself 10%. I mean, don't ever let it be said we don't spoil you here on this podcast. www.freetrain.com. Go check them out.
Excellent stuff. Right, on with the show.
Sorry to interrupt the podcast, but we've got another sponsor to tell you about. Phil Supreme. They're a nationally recognised brand who offer only the very highest quality of natural supplements. Their extensive range includes a range of medicinal mushrooms, nootropics, anti-aging products, gut support products, green powders, vitamins, and much more.
Yep, they've worked with fighters from all the top promotions, including UFC, Bellator, Brave, and Cage Warriors, with a solid reputation of providing results. So check them out on Instagram, which is at Phil_Supreme. Or their website, www.philsupreme.co.uk, and make sure you use the code MMAFAN for a cool 15% off your first order. Don't say we don't spoil you. Hello, and welcome to the MMA Fan Podcast. I am one half of your co-host, Blake Harrison, and joining me, as ever, is...
You took a big intake then and literally tipped your head back like you was going to introduce me. You also said that you're one half of your co-host. So you're...
Does that not make sense? One half of the co-hosts?
One half of the presenting duo. No, you are a co-host. You're not one half of a co-host.
Oh.
One half of your hosting...
Good point.
Yeah.
Or am I?
I don't know. I can only see you from I can't see you from the waist down, and I'm quite happy with it.
Am I some kind of, you know, am I just the physical being of Blake Harrison and the spiritual being is somewhere else? Therefore, I am just half of a co-host.
Someone's been back in the theatre. Where'd all that come from?
Oh, the theatre, darling. The theatre. I've been in the theatre just, you know, delving deep into the recesses of my mind.
How's it been,
just,
all right?
You know, exploring the inner sanctum that is my brain.
Back in the room,
it's been all right, but
yeah,
sorry, mate. It's been all right, but people don't give a shit about me being on stage.
Just having a little catch up,
work,
seeing how you've been.
All right, well, yeah, no, rehearsals are going well. I'm enjoying it. It's good fun. But yeah, I want to talk to some fighters.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm all right as well, thanks. So, who are we chatting to today?
We have got two guests on today, and they are brothers. They are George and Harry Hardwick. They will be competing at the Cage Warriors Trilogy that runs from September 30th to October 2nd. We find out what day they're fighting on. We'll let you listen and find out what day that is. But both of them have got fights on the same night. And it's just really exciting to have two brothers fighting on that trilogy. Nice little storylines you can follow there. And yeah, shall we get on with the show?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is George and Harry Hardwick, the Hardwick brothers. Harry and George Hardwick, hello. How's it going?
All right. Going good. Same old, same old.
Good, good, good.
Brilliant.
Hard as bars. Yeah. Douche bars, we call them in the gym.
Well, you've just finished training, have you, recently?
About an hour or so ago, yeah.
Right, and it was a hard sparring session, was it?
Especially with us two, it gets a bit sort of, I don't know, dickheadish.
Are you sparring against each other rather than other people at the gym?
Mixing it up, but it's like, it's when me and Harry go together, I think, because there's not as much of that filter. We know how much we can push each other that we just turn it in our beds against each other.
Yeah, there's stuff that you just couldn't get away with other people in the gym who are your friends and that, but it's all right against your brother.
Like what? Yeah, what do you mean by that? Like what kind of thing?
Like, you know, like borderline headbutts when you're like jockeying for position, that kind of thing. Mouth smothers, like, you know, just like really like grinding your forearm and like the hard bones into someone's jaw when you're attacking submissions.
There was a one a while ago where, you know, because I was training for a fight, and because of who was available, me and Harry just did 3 fives on the bounce, and he catches me inadvertently with an inside low kick that rides up into the groin. And he's done that inadvertently, and whilst he's saying sorry, I just inside low kick him back intentionally to the groin. Just because I don't want to, like, build this mentality of going, oh, I'm sorry, you know, it's okay. I was just like, no, get it back. Boom.
Do you think that that's...
there was no anger. It was like, yeah, I understand. Like,
yeah. Is it of benefit to you, that the fact that there's someone in the gym that can push you that hard and treat it almost as close to a real fight as I suppose you're going to get outside of a real fight? Does that benefit you in any way, do you think?
Yeah, we haven't injured each other much doing all this dickhead stuff either, so yeah, so far it's been a benefit. I think when the first like catastrophically bad injury happens as a result of us being knobheads to each other, I think we'll probably have to like assess it a little bit, but for now it's great.
And Harry being the weight class below, there still hasn't been someone who will like push me to a point of fatigue like he does. That's just his thing. He's stubborn.
Yeah, I am. You know, there's plenty of other people who have all the traits George does.
And so with you pushing each other on the kind of physical side of things and taking it to a different level, with the kind of mental side of fighting, and that kind of, you know, place that you need to have your head, you know, leading up to a fight and walking out to a fight and fighting, is that something that you openly talk to each other about as well?
Well, there's not a lot going on in our heads, to be honest. So. You know, I was trying to explain this where, you know, our last fight on the trilogy, me and Harry were staring our opponents out with, like, posturing and stuff, but we're not really thinking of anything at the time. As I, before the Truman fight, I was like giving him, you know, staring back, you know, matching the energy, and I was just trying not to shit myself. My guts were very bad, so like, there's nothing like deep going on behind the eyes, really.
Yeah, like, with the Ndoye one where I like stared at him and stalked him through the cage.
Because that looked really intense. That looked really intense.
Oh, I felt nothing. Like, there was like, you know, my heart rate was probably a bit above normal, but I had to stop myself laughing at two things. One, when he came in the cage, like, I like to stomp the floor when I get in there. I don't know why, I just do. I like to stomp the floor when I get in the cage. I don't know if he'd seen me and he was copying, or it's just something he does. But when he first walks in the cage and stomps the ground, his foot slips. He looks really stupid, and I had to stop myself laughing then. And then I thought, oh, I'll just get in his face a bit. And as I got in his face, Mark Goddard separated us like I was like a disobedient child, which I also found pretty funny. So I had to like stop myself laughing a bit, to be honest.
So in regards to them kind of sort of stare downs, because I watched that and I thought that was pretty intense. And so when people, you know, you hear other fighters say, oh, I'll take, you know, these media opportunities, I take this chance to kind of stare into them, and I'm staring straight into their soul, and I'm, you know, if I win over this, I'm getting the mental edge over it. Do you not subscribe to any of that?
But you can use that time to sort of analyse them a little bit, but it's preparation. It's just your training. So it's like you can make as much as you want to out of it, but it's who's prepared better.
I think there's like some little reads you can make. Like, you know, when I fought in Croatia, that guy seemed to be very timid when I was staring at him. Like, just his body language was quite timid. But it doesn't make a huge difference. Like, fights are almost just predetermined by that point. You just got to let stuff happen.
Well, let's take you back a bit. We always like to start these shows by talking about how people got into martial arts. And I wanted to know, like, because you both grew up in Middlesbrough, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was that a tough place to grow up in? Did you feel like you needed to be tough to grow up in Middlesbrough?
Probably, but we're too stupid to realise. No, to be fair, our parents have worked quite hard, so we're in a sort of slightly nicer area. But it doesn't take it would take like a 5-minute walk and you're in places where you've got to be quite careful. But I don't know, you literally just realized at some point when you're a teenager that you do nothing.
Yeah,
I thought I'll start boxing, but when I googled it, Thai boxing came up, so I did that.
That's destiny right there.
Everyone
I googled it and
Thai
boxing came up.
These great stories where they've had to overcome some bullying or some real issue in their life. And I'd get home, I'd play PS2 for 6 hours and go to bed. And at some point I thought, yeah, I should probably do something.
See, I didn't do that. I just played PS2 or 3 for hours on end. I didn't do anything.
And so when you first got into the gym, and that was Muay Thai, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, was that something that took a while for you to go, oh, I'll stick at this, or was that something that you enjoyed straight away? And did you feel that you had a natural ability at it? Did it come pretty easily to you?
We both enjoyed it straight away, but I think we were both pretty shit for a while. Like, looking back on it now, we were the beginners that just, you know, sometimes we'll get annoyed with something like beginners will come into the gym and they'll just not learn for ages. But we were that, and it's like we've got to be a bit more understanding with people who are coming to our gym. We were crap for ages. And then Duncan, one of our, you know, training partners back at the Thai boxing gym, said he remembers going away to Thailand for a few months. And then when he come back, we'd suddenly just like learned how to learn things. And we weren't shit anymore. And it sort of snowballed from there.
And so...
And I'm...
Go on.
Got like, you.
Now, I just want to know, like, at what point did you get to in Muay Thai? Was you competing in Muay Thai before you then sort of transitioned into, you know, other martial arts? And what was that journey? Was that then, oh, there's an MMA club there? Or was it, I'm going to go and learn BJJ? Or, like, what was that, you know, how did that journey kind of present itself?
Yeah, I think when we started Muay Thai, we were doing it with the mind to get into MMA.
You know, all right.
Watched a lot of that show Human Weapon, where they go around and learn all the martial arts and stuff. So I thought, oh, I want to do MMA at some point, but just got into competing in Muay Thai at a junior level. I won the belt of some pub in Salford that's burnt down now. Very prestigious.
And then, we didn't even know that was for a title. we just fought in some club in Salford, which had a gym attached to it. And then they put a belt around George's waist afterwards. He was like, whoop.
Yeah, I did that. One of our coaches went to teach somewhere where it teaches MFA, where it teaches MMA, which was Middlesbrough Fight Academy. So we just thought we'll go there.
That's been our gym since we started MMA.
Nice. And am I right in thinking, because I think I've heard you say this in an interview, that your parents aren't overly keen on you being fighters and they'd be quite happy for you to retire? Is that true? I'm pretty sure I heard you say that in an interview, unless you were maybe joking.
Like, they're happy that we're happy in pursuing something that we want to pursue. But I reckon if we were to just say, all right, I'm done fighting now, that, like... I think Mum would be quite happy, but it's stressful for him. Every couple of months, we just go, right, we're off to somewhere and just stay somewhere for a few days and have a fight with someone and come back. But I think when we start telling the stories of just, you know, stuff that happens on these fight trips and just how, you know, people we meet and all this kind of, I think they can start to realise why it's such a sort of attractive lifestyle to us.
Yeah.
But our dad just was like dead astute with what he said about it. Like, he's got a really sort of overly rational, analytic mind for a bit of a moron and a giant child, which he is. But the way he said it to me just once, it was just like, fight. You know, the way that the payment works in fighting is a pyramid. If you're not at the top of the pyramid, you're not making any money. So if you're in fighting, that's what you want to be aiming for. And then he was like, just some other point he said, you're not just in sports, you're in sports entertainment. You need to be thinking about that as well. So you're not just a sportsman, you're an entertainer as well. You know, so just quite, for someone who doesn't give the slightest fuck about MMA at all, or combat sports in general, really, there was some pretty good advice he gave, some good analysis of what.
Well, on that note of sports entertainment, I mean, being brothers, I think in some ways sort of helps. I think it sort of interests people. And I wanted to know from your perspective, I mean, fans seem to love it. Obviously, there's the Diaz brothers and the Edwards brothers, but even in other sports, you've got the Neville brothers, you've got the Williams sisters, you've got stuff like that. From your perspective, do you feel an extra interest in you because you're brothers? And if so, why do you think people are interested in siblings that are in the same sport?
Well, I suppose it's like two for the price of one, isn't it? And then there's always someone to bounce off, you know, with it.
Yeah, and it's like if you're fighting on the same show, it's the same surname as being said twice as much. You know, the same names being said twice as much. Or if you're fighting, you know, it's like you end up sort of being more, fighting more regularly. I don't know if it's your siblings when you're growing up, even if, you know, you don't grow into sports, they're still kind of like, there's still a bit of a rivalry with any siblings. It's just how human beings are. I don't know if that element interests people, like,
yeah,
you know, like they're your first rival and your first friend is always your siblings, really. And it's like seeing people who've essentially took that competitiveness almost as far as it can go. I don't know, maybe I'm overanalyzing it and waffling.
No, I don't think you are. I think you're absolutely right. I think that's quite an interesting way of looking at it. You know, your sibling is your first rival and your first friend. I think that's quite eloquently put. I really like that.
That's the first time someone from Middlesbrough has ever said anything eloquent.
Well, I've seen Teesside Tintin. I don't know if you've ever seen that. So
I think the guy, because there was Borough Pat as well, which was like Postman Pat dubbed with Borough. I think he lived down the road for a while. Yeah, he lived on our road for a while, I'm sure of it. Mum knew who made it, and we got like a letter addressed to the wrong house, and it was that person's name. She's like, oh.
So as
but people gone.
No, just again, to just a touch on like being brothers and that. Do you have any like noticeable differences like to approaching fighting, training, weight cut?
I think because we're physically quite different. we have to approach things a little bit differently. It's like, I think just because during sort of my late teens, you know, like the most formative years, that's when I was doing Thai boxing and I was running twice a day and I was fucking starving myself to try and make weight for these Thai boxing fights. I think that's had like a lasting effect where I'm like skinnier forever. Whereas in George's late teens, during his formative years, he was not running twice a day and he was wrestling and he was like grappling fully grown men. So I think that's why there's like the sort of difference in build with both of us. So it's like George has to be a lot more on his weight sort of further out from the fight, and yet, you know, probably has to train a bit more cardio, whereas like I can almost neglect it sometimes and it's still there. Like I can almost totally neglect my cardio and it's just there. Like it's just sort of how I am.
And mentally, in terms of like analysing things, you know, there's a bit of a difference between us, because I'm quite academic. I've got like a degree, I've got like a first in that. But I've just, you know, and Harry's got fuck all. He's got like an E in philosophy and rocks. And he's got an E in philosophy and an E in geology. So it's like he can ponder the existence of some fucking rocks.
Yeah.
But if you were to speak to us, I just try and be a bit thicker these days. And it seems to work out for me.
I'd say I'm probably the more overthinky one. Like, if other people from the gym are fighting, I will at some point lose sleep over like just thinking about, all right, they need to do this, they need to do this, right, we need to get this sorted, we need to do this. Like, I'm not as much like that with my own fights and with myself. Like, I think with your own fights, you just got to just dumb it down. Like, you've almost just got to become a bit dim towards fight time. Like, just, I'm going to have a fight, I'm just going to scrap it. Like, you can do a lot of harm to your own performance by overthinking it. And I think just being dumb and just almost ignorant to what you're about to put your body through and just trusting your training.
Because I used to be like a terrible overthinker when I was around like university age. And I've just tried to get, just over the years, I'm trying to get to that fun level of brain damage where you're not a cabbage, but you've just taken the edge off so you don't think about stuff too much.
Oh god. Well, go on, Stu, you can pick up from that.
I want to ask you, George, coming off the win with Truman, you shouted at the camera, someone ordered Truman a pizza. What's the story behind that?
Oh god, if I got a slice of pizza every time I've been asked that story since then, I'd be a very happy heavyweight. But so basically, the crux of it is we've rehydrated, we've done all the rehydration proper, we're having a nice pasta thing we've ordered in, but we also ordered in just a little pizza as well, not like heavy on the cheese, like you know, not
just like a thin, there was just loads of starch and salt, which is at that point what your body needs.
And then Dean Truman comes over with some of his lads and they're a bit snarky about the pizza, like, I'm the pizza boy, which I didn't mind. And then they're kind of like, oh, nutritious, which I didn't mind. But then I went, well, do you want a slice?
No, you're missing the fact that we were sat there and Truman, I don't know if it was like some kid trying to fit in with the cool kids at school, like poked his head between us. You and the pizza boys, and like did this really weird like breathe. He said, like, I always remember the tone he said it. He was like, what the fuck's your
problem? But even then I wasn't that bothered. But then I offered him a slice and he turned it down, which is like, you know, I don't understand the mentality of turning down free pizza, especially when he's weighed in. So
that's what's upset you the most, is you've offered someone a pizza slice, they've said no. And that's just deeply offended you.
Yeah, and then, so...
So if anyone ever offers you food, they better fucking take it. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, it's like, anyone offers me any pizza anytime, I'm down for it. You know, I don't want to do any disrespect.
It's clean plates all the time in our house. Like, when we fought in Croatia, George got up to, like, 87 kilos because the restaurant in the hotel kept giving us these massive, like, baskets of this bread that they'd done in the pizza oven that they had there. That was this really nice bread, but I was cutting weight, but we couldn't, like, just, it's not in our, like, mentality to leave that food. So George had to eat the entire basket of bread.
I just didn't want it there. I was quite heroic in that sense. But anyway, so I've hit him with the body shot. I shout about the pizza and what have you. And then when he's like on the floor and he's starting to come around, you know, his body's fine. First thing I do is I offer him some pizza. I'm like, oh, do you want some free pizza? You know, I can, the offer for pizza is still there. I can get you some pizza. And then he just has a laugh. And that's like probably one of the last things I said to him.
And then, this is a weird part of the story. This is where it gets a bit strange. So our coach, Peter Irving, was in our corner. And I don't know where it got lost in translation with Dan Hardy and Dean Truman. I don't know if it's the, like our accents and their accents clashing. But they thought we'd called Dan Hardy out for Pete. So like, there was like a bit of a confrontation backstage. And Pete was like, no, look, I'm the most retired fighter that there is. My body's knackered. I struggle with stairs. Like
do you think I said, get this man to Peter?
Get this man, Pete, sir. Like, I don't know if it's just an accent thing or he was, you know, obviously like Hardy would have been a bit down his, you know, it's rough cornering people when they get finished and you can't really like think straight. But yeah, just a very strange thing that happened.
That is strange. I mean, well, look, let me ask you both about the kind of emotional impact of watching each other fight, because I think I've understood that both of you seem to kind of be able to deal with your own fights maybe better than the fights of your brother. So, Harry, I wanted to ask you, I think you said that before your fight at the last trilogy, you'd watch George win. And you were buzzing because you won, but that wasted some energy for you. And then you had to kind of build yourself back up for your own fight. So I want to know, how tricky was that to build yourself back up? And will you change things for the next fight? Like, will you go first rather than second or anything like that? And then, George, I wanted to ask you, you've said that, you know, cornering Harry can be more tiring than having your own fights. Can you talk us through, like, how difficult it is to actually corner your brother and to kind of stay professional and focused when it's your flesh and blood in there going through this, you know, particularly with that Ndoye fight? That was quite a grueling fight.
Yeah, I think I don't know, I could have controlled it a little bit better, to be fair. It was just like I got that excited because I really like body shots as well, and it was like, you know we're each other's striking coach. And it was like I had to take that left hook to the body through the body pad for however many weeks leading up to the fight. And it was fucking horrible. So there was that bit of, hey, that's worked. But I don't know, I had like a bit of I should have just managed it better, or I should have just not watched the fight or something.
I was aware of that coming back into the changing rooms. I didn't want to be, There was like a 5 minute, yeah, it's cool. Bring the energy back down.
Because thing
like,
is, George, I don't know if he's a bit of a sociopath. When we had it the other way around and fought in Milan, I fought first that time. George, because of the way that Bellator was sort of running it, they didn't want many people in the venue.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
you at once. You've not fucking made no difference. We were all in the same hotel. But George just watched, do you know Uncle Roger?
Yeah, he just
didn't even watch my fight. And then I had this really stressful time trying to get back into the venue because some very intimidating looking security guards just went, no, you'll get back on the bus. And I don't think they spoke a word of English. And I had like dry mouth from my fight and I was fucking screaming at them, no, I'm just fucking like blah, blah, blah. They're just doing the job. I managed to get back in the arena. I was like running through, like trying to find George. I get him, and he's getting his hands dropped. What happened?
I remember that because I was like, scrolling through my phone, I'm having a shit, and I'm like, I see, oh, Bellator Euro prelims. Oh, Harry might be fine now. Scroll past. I just find some cooking video somewhere. It's like Uncle Roger ripping in. There was Jamie Oliver and the other one he ripped into. I can't remember. But he was ripping into someone about fried rice because that's his shtick.
So how was the emotional... I don't know if I need to ask, but when you were actually cornering Harry and you actually were watching his fight rather than just watching things on YouTube or whatever you were watching, when you're actually cornering him, how are the emotions of that? Or are you equally blasé?
See, because the last time it was I'd fought and then I'd cornered. And when I could let myself kind of get carried away with it when I was cornering, because I didn't have a fight coming up. I just got my fight out the way. But I think I cornered better having already had a fight.
I thought that in Milan as well. I don't know if it's like something to do with like your brain being well switched on, but I felt like that might be some of the best cornering I've ever done, was after I'd fought.
But yeah, and then after Harry's fight, because my heart just fucking sunk when he got dropped with the left hook, and then he starts swinging back and he's bouncing around. Like, he gets kicked in the dick, and I just shout, milk it! Like the time period, not the dick, but you know, it's a stressful fight. And there was just... And then there was this big dump. I'm walking around backstage and I just kind of like flop on the floor and have a little nap for about 10 to 15 minutes. I think it's one of the guys who works at Cage Warriors, Kieran, and was like, "Are you okay there?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I just need to lie down." And he's like, "It's quite dark. Someone might walk on you." No.
Yeah, well, like, you weren't in that fight. That was one of the most horrendous experiences of my entire existence. I can't begin to describe how tired I was going back to my stool. Well, there wasn't a stool, but just going back to my corner before the third round, I just felt like my legs didn't work. And no matter how hard I breathed, I just couldn't get enough air in. Because Ndoye's tough. And I didn't expect him to be able to like hang with the pace as well as he did.
But I have to say, I thought that was possibly my favourite fight of the trilogy. I mean, it was an amazing performance, and it was such a grueling fight between the two of you. And I think what really solidified it for me as probably my favourite fight of the tournament was after the fight, the way you were kind of sort of consoling him, and you had that kind of mutual respect together in the cage after the... I mean, he seemed disappointed that he didn't win. I have to say, from watching it, I thought it was clear that you did win. So I was surprised that he was thinking he was going to win. But I suppose it's very hard to be able to try and score fights when you're in them like that. But it was an amazing fight. And I wanted to ask you kind of how you felt afterwards, which you've touched upon there. But also, when you get those kind of split decisions wins and they are tough fights, do you have any sympathy for your opponent? Or are you just thinking, oh no, I'm just fucking happy I won?
Well, that fight, it was like, just, it's like, the fight itself was that taxing. I think my blood sugar and my testosterone were probably in like minus numbers by the time the decision was declared. So I was just tired. I was a bit confused. I didn't really know like how to score it. I knew I definitely won the second round. I was pretty certain I'd won the third, but I wasn't sure. And it's just, you know, George and Pete in my corner, they weren't doing the thing that you see people, well, what his corner were doing, which is where they just go, oh yeah, that's, you've won that, that's your fight. Yeah, but before the decision was declared, because what's the fucking point? It's like they'd kind of, you know, and Doyle's a, you know, he seemed like a pretty emotional guy, and he seemed like, yeah, like, okay, like they built him up, and then, like, as the decision got declared, it like crashed him back down a bit.
Mm.
But I was just telling him, you know, no losers in that fight. I mean, he fought his heart out. Like, that's maybe the best I've seen him fight. And I'm not just saying that because I fought against him there, but it's like, you know, there was noticeable improvements from, like, you know, there was the fight where he fought Kieran Clark, and then there was noticeable, like, really noticeable improvements from that fight to the Corrin Eaton fight. And then there was noticeable improvements again from the Corrin Eaton fight to the fight with me. So it was like he was good, and he fought well. He probably just poured a lot of effort in and was disappointed. So I was consoling him. Like, I've been on the end of a, like, bad decision. It's hard. I don't think that was a bad decision, but it's just, I don't know.
There was a bit backstage as well where you were like, oh, if I'm ever in France, you know.
No, if I'm ever in Paris, I'll come train with you. Don't come to Middlesbrough.
Yeah, he said, oh, if I come to Middlesbrough.
Don't.
And we're like, no.
No, avoid it.
And unless you're coming for chicken parmos.
Yeah, you've got parmos, and that's about it.
The rest is a shithole, apart from...
I was going to ask you, is that your go-to meal after fights, a chicken parmo?
Yeah. So, like, the pork parmo, if you get a good one, is better than the chicken parmo. But it's just very few places can actually do a good pork parmo.
And
if it's,
yeah, and
if
a bad pork parmo is bad. It's like a leather boot with cheese on it. But a good pork parmo is really good.
Yeah, we were actually talking to Paddy about this, Paddy Pimlet, when we went to train at Next Gen. Because he was talking about how he didn't like Middlesbrough because one of the away games he went to was one of the times Middlesbrough managed to beat Liverpool. And it was like local, like, you know, Middlesbrough born and bred guy, Stuart Downing, scored one of the goals. And then he was just apparently shit when he moved to Liverpool. And I was like, yeah, well, he won't have parmos anymore. So he'll have lost his fuel. He'll have lost his power. And then Paddy was like, oh, what's a parmo? And I was like, oh, it's like, it's fried breaded chicken with bechamel sauce and cheese. And now, like, Paddy was once texting him at, like, midnight about parmos. Yeah. He's like, oh, I've got to try one of them.
Well, we've just spoken before we've had this interview. We just spoke to Nathan Fletcher, and he said that you boys had been there and have been training. I mean, what are you? I mean, looking at the UK MMA scene at the moment, it's on fire. And to go to Next Gen, like, the atmosphere there must have been incredible at the moment. You know, they've got some exciting things happening there. And just to get your thoughts really on training there. And the fighters that you trained with there, and just, does it feel, it certainly does to us, does it feel like a really good time for UK MMA?
Yeah, it feels like it's a good time, and it's getting better. And honestly, with Next Gen, the vibe we got there was quite similar to the vibe we've got at Middlesbrough Fight Academy. Like, obviously we've only got us two and another lad who was pro. So, like, they're much further on as far as, like, having a full, built-up, established fight team. But, you know, they're one of, like, premier gyms in the UK. They're one of the few gyms to produce from the ground up multiple UFC fighters. But, yeah, it was, like, everyone trained really well. The training was really good. It was quite interesting, the way that they were structuring the pro sessions. They got lots done. Yeah, it was class. Really good experience.
Definitely want to go there for a bit of a longer trip, like, we only went there like a couple of days. We had a few lads from our gym fighting, and we didn't want to, you know, go off and train somewhere else for ages whilst they're preparing for fights. So we were only there like a couple of days, but we definitely want to get a week there at least. So
yeah, like a week maybe where we don't have fights coming up, where we can just focus on getting loads of good training in, loads of Casa Italia. We went to an Italian restaurant, and Paddy and all that were like, yeah, that's the best one in Liverpool. I don't know how the garlic bread was that much nicer than other garlic bread. Like, it confuses me. Like, I don't understand how the garlic butter was that much better. Like, it blows my mind. But I would like to try more than just that on the menu. Well, like, more of the menu there. I would like to maybe go on the sesh with Paddy, because I've heard some stories of what that's like. So maybe just stay a full week, get loads of training in, and then just have like a big weekend in Liverpool. That sounds
like a YouTube series or something. I'd watch that. I'd subscribe to that channel, I think.
I'd try, but I don't know if I could last like an hour on a proper sesh without just thinking, I need to go home and play my Nintendo Switch and have a chamomile tea.
I mean, whilst we're talking about Paddy, obviously we've seen him go from Cage Warriors to, you know, creating an absolute storm in the UFC, and what a start he's made there. And we've seen Ian Garry's now got a fight announced, you know, going from Cage Warriors, and obviously the history is rich in fighters from Cage Warriors moving up into the UFC. Is that a road that both of you are looking to sort of proceed down?
Yeah, just take our time with it. Don't, in no rush. We'll go when we want. Like, I'm not like clawing at it. Like, oh, if the UFC were, you know, I based on my last fight, I think I need just another couple of fights to sort myself out, sort out a few of the mistakes. But yeah, it'll happen.
I've been fighting consistently, especially after all COVID, and it's been a bit of a bore. Like, I just want fights consistently. I'm not, you know. Sometimes I've seen people get up a bit higher in the division. Maybe they've won a belt, and then it all just becomes about, oh, who's managing me here? Or what's the right fight to take to get into the UFC or whatever? Or they're just trying to like put the fights on the back burner whilst building social media. And really, I just want to fight a lot.
Yeah.
I want 3 to 4 fights a year at least.
Well, in terms... Oh, go on.
Well, I was just about to say, I'm the same, really. It's like, I've never had more than 2 professional MMA fights in a calendar year. So, they've not announced them yet, have they? Well, we're on the trilogy, fuck it. So we're on the next trilogy. So, like, this will be my 3rd fight this year, which I'll be buzzing for, and I can hopefully get a 4th in. But yeah, like, that's the year I've always wanted, really. It's just various other, like, bollocks has got in the way of it. But, yeah, so hopefully you get 4-0 this year.
Well, just to put you at ease, these are all part of the Our Cage Warriors trilogy special, so we knew you were on the trilogy. You haven't, like, given anything away there or anything like that. You're not going to be in trouble with Graham Boylan or anything. But okay. I wanted to know what happened with Bellator, because you were part of their roster as far as I know, and then you wanted to say don't then, George.
We weren't, like, signed to any multi-fight deals. They were just single-fight contracts.
It was just single-fight? Because I was going to say, because there seemed to be a lot of people signed over in Europe, and then obviously the pandemic hit, and then a lot of those people then were released from their contracts because Bellator couldn't do the shows over here and stuff like that. How badly were you guys hit by the pandemic? Because, you know, you weren't part of necessarily a lot of the other trilogies and stuff like that. Was that a very, very difficult time for you guys?
I had a decent year in the pandemic year. You know, considering a lot of people had no fights whatsoever.
Yeah.
I had 2 fights on a good stage.
Yeah, I just had the 1 last year, and it was a loss, which was pretty shit, but just got plowed on. We just sort of heard through the grapevine that Bellator will not be doing much European stuff.
We just didn't know when the events were coming, so we went,
yeah,
right, let's go to Cage Warriors, let's get these active fights in, right, because they've proved consistently they can get your fight many times a year. If you're ready to fight, they'll get you a fight, yeah, and it'll be a fight that makes sense.
That's the main, like, the big thing with Cage Warriors is, like, we can have, like, almost like a schedule in a year, like, oh, so you're going to fight this month, and this month, and it's like, I can just... Like, before that, we were sort of almost in limbo with fights where, you know, even with Bellator, it's like, both the Bellator fights had about 6-ish weeks notice for, maybe a bit less. And then just after that, the Smolin fight, it was like, I wanted another fight, but then there was just no opportunities for it, which is why I ended up taking just some random short notice fight in Croatia, which was fun. You know, those kind of stories are mid, but it's kind of like,
we lost money on
that. Yeah, we lost so much fucking money on that fight. Like, I proper, like, Yeah, and just I came out like well out of pocket from that fight.
Why did you come out of? Why were you out of pocket at the end of it?
The pay was all right, but it was like
the PCR tests, the self isolation tests, all the stuff like that.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So it's pretty standard fare that if you're fighting internationally, they'll pay for one corner man's flight. But I wanted Pete there, so I paid for his flight, and then so I had to pay, you know, his tests. And then mainly is Stroop Waffles, because we had to, like, in, you know, we had to fly back through Amsterdam, and it was like, right, well, I'm getting a lot of Stroop Waffles. So I bought enough Stroop Waffles to last me for like a couple of months, maybe. But that hit the pocket quite hard.
Yeah, I was getting pizzas like 4 or 5 times a day from, like, they had a brass oven type thing in the hotel, so I was trying every pizza on the menu. And I had like a tuna and olive pizza, which was mental because that's a fairly standard combo. It was like tuna, olives, and onions. But the olives, there was like 4 of them, whole olives, and they just had the pits in. So I'll go to bite in this pizza with olives in it. And then they just were like, nah, throw the olives on. Don't take the pits out. And I nearly broke my whole jaw.
The vibe I got from most of Croatia was, nah. Like, I've never been, it was during a pandemic and it was airport security. And he kind of like looked at our passports a bit. And why are you here? I went, sport. And he was like, that was it. This is the vibe I got from pretty much everyone. Like, the service was quite slow in the hotel restaurant, but it wasn't bad service. It was just
I came away from cornering you and that with like quite a few hundred quid down and about 10 kilos off.
I remember it was like the journey home was one of the most stressful days of my entire life, because we get to the airport in Croatia to fly home, and then the woman's like, you need PCR tests to get back in the UK. I'm like, we didn't know this. So then we get, I think it was just a lateral flow test in the airport in Croatia, which lets us get on the plane to go to Holland. And then we've got like 6 hours staying in the Schiphol airport, whatever it is, in Amsterdam. And in that entire time, we had no idea if we were going to be allowed back in the UK. We were just like, I was like, and then we got told we had to fill in this form that we didn't know. Then we got told we had to buy more tests for when we got home and had to do all this isolation stuff. And then when I was handing over the test that was almost certainly the wrong test, it wasn't someone from the government who was, like, looking over the stuff. It was just some poor lass who worked for the Dutch airlines, who probably just couldn't be arsed dealing with all the shit Boris has made her do. So, yeah, that's good. And I was like, fuck. And then Pete went missing for a bit, and then we thought he wouldn't get on the flight because he had to fill in all this stuff. And then the flight got delayed back. But very stressful day. One of the best trips of my life.
Well, it sounds like you got some good stories out of it, at least.
Yeah, it was mint. George did his dickhead pizza celebration. The guy I fought's nickname was the Croatian cowboy. So it was like the moment I beat him, one cowboy. Like... loads of people asking what that's about. So no, that's just going to be like a calling card of us, like very specific celebrations that no one's in on.
I've also read on one of your the vlogs, your cornerman training partner Leon compared him to Buddy the Elf.
Yeah,
what's the deal with that?
Oh, he's a very, like, I don't know, he's just not seen much of the world. You know, he is from, like, genuinely, he's from one of, like, the roughest parts of Middlesbrough. It's called Doggy. Like, there's multiple reasons why. Some people say it's called Doggy because they used to be dogfighting. Some people say it's just because the field there's shaped like a dog. But he's from Doggy, and it's proper rough. But I don't know, he's just this proper big kid, but he's...
That was, like, one of the first times he's been at, like a big proper city. It was when we went to London. And when we got off the train, we were saying, you know, if you say all right to someone, you know, now then, how are you doing? They're just going to give you an evil stare. So when we walked up and down the street, he was going, all right, mate, all right, mate. And there were just all these southerners just absolutely disgusted at him.
He'd keep going, off at this. He would keep going, like, asking all these, oh, he's class Leo. Like, genuinely, a lot of people think he's quite daft, but I think he's a bit like Carl Pilkington. Like, he just sees stuff differently. And, like, the way he sees stuff is funny, but genuinely, like, he will be, like, you know, he will be someone in fighting. Like, he's really good at learning how to fight, and he's mint at fighting. And he had his debut shortly after that. So he actually, he'd cornered us at a professional level before he'd even met, we'd cornered him at an amateur level. But he had his debut, and the guy he fought sold, like, hundreds and hundreds of tickets. So Leon just started swearing at all the people. Like, he just started sticking his middle finger up out the cage at the hundreds of people booing him. He started showboating in the fight. He took the guy down and then started, like, repeating the guy's corner advice to him. Like, the guy's corner said, get your hand on his head. He's like, go on, get your hand on his head. Get up, you pussy. Oh, you go on, get up. You can't get up. And then, like, afterwards, like, did a proper awkward handshake with the guy. Goes back to the warm-up room, and he's, like just capitulated on the floor. It's like, oh, I shouldn't have talked to him. I couldn't breathe. I was fucked. And he's like, oh, heads are hard, because he hurt his hand a bit.
Bringing him along to this one. This next one.
Yeah, yeah. We'll bring him along. It's good we couldn't, like, show him more of London, because he was still, like, wide-eyed and amazed by just the view from out of the hotel window. But it's like, it'd be good to, like, show him, like, Buckingham Palace and all the touristy bits. Because, like, just even in the taxi, when we were driving to the hotel, he was like, look at that! Oh, my God! There's a thing! Oh,
like, what did he say? You lost the sound a bit. What did you say?
He said he was like,
these taxis all look like fake taxis.
These taxis all look like fake taxis. Well, it sounds like we've got our next guest lined up. We want to get him on the show. He sounds brilliant.
Yeah, we'll bring him along to the next trilogy. He'll be in the next trilogy with us.
Probably get some open retention.
Yeah, yeah, so I can show him a bit of London the day after. If I'm not absolutely shattered. Because, like, after the last fight, it was a difficulty just, like, moving for the next week. I was just shattered. I was fucked. So hopefully I get a much easier fight. And then I can show Leon some more of London, because then he will go, like, I think if we show him, like, Buckingham Palace, he'll go full Buddy the Elf there.
Yeah.
Thing is, though, he's quite like a, I don't know if this term's, like, translates, but he's quite, like, chewy. He's quite, like, he can be confrontational when he needs to be, because he's from, like, a rough place, but he's that, and he's also this, like, really sort of happy, excited kid. I don't know, he's like, do you know, you've obviously seen Bottom, haven't you? He's like Richie and Eddie if they're the same person. He's like if Richie and Eddie became the same person. He's kind of like that.
Oh, amazing. We know we're coming up on towards the end now. I wanted to ask you guys how you feel about social media, because obviously it's a big part for fighters in terms of, like, building their brand and all that kind of stuff, but there's a lot of negativity that can come from social media as well, particularly for fighters as they, you know, grow with their following and all that stuff. You get people you're about to fight, fans telling you you're gonna get knocked out and all that stuff, and social media in general for a lot of people can be quite a negative place. But a lot of fighters, you know, they kind of need it to build their brand and to eventually get bigger purses for fights and stuff like that. So what are your thoughts on social media? Do you see it as a positive thing or a negative thing?
We can both go ages without posting anything just because we forgot. And then sometimes it feels like a bit more like effort to post more stuff. But I just think all these kickboxers and stuff I follow, like these Japanese guys like Takeru and Masaki Noiri and stuff, I just think, what should I post? What kind of stuff do they post that I like to see? Oh, it's like the training stuff. That's all I'm really interested in. It's like the fight clips and the training clips. So I'll try and post more like that.
And on the subject of like trolls and haters, I like that's mint.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking love that. Like
I was getting a few. Dean Truman's gonna knock you out, pussy. And then I just text him back after the fight. Have a wonderful evening.
That's the best. I love that.
What did he say? He said he bet like €300 or something on Dean Truman, and he hadn't even watched the fight. So I got loads of because my first Bellator fight, I got a really bad cut on my head, which kind of like got a lot. You know, it was very sort of gory and dramatic looking. So like Bellator put a little highlight of the fight that got like 750,000 views or something. So I was just looking through the positive comments, like I kind of just scrolled past, but it was the negative ones that were what I enjoyed the most. It was like, oh, this skinny white pussy has no power. How he does not even win. He's falling. And I was just like, and then I was scrolling and I'd find another one.
The best one is someone sent us a message like translated.
Croatia fight.
Yeah. From the live chat of Harry's Croatia fight, someone had translated a message, and when it translated into English, it was
looks like the love child of a brother and a sister, a classic Englishman.
All the way better than my comics, to be honest.
Like I love that, like mint, like you've put a smile on my face. Like I want more abuse.
Yeah, we appreciate a well done, you know. A few fire emojis and a fist and a thumbs up and stuff. But some ridiculous insult is always way more fun.
Oh, dear. Okay, well, I guess all we need to say is thank you so much for your time, gents. It's been incredible. It's been... Honestly, I can't wait for more people to find out about you. I think, like... that. Collectively, it's so interesting that the dynamic there's brilliant, and there's some comedy gold that presents itself, and the fact that you do what you do when that octagon door closes, like it's exciting. And honestly, thank you so much for your time tonight, gents.
Thank you for all the kind words there, man.
Yeah, no, thanks very much, guys, and best of luck at the Cage Warriors trilogy. We don't know who you're fighting yet; it hasn't been announced, and we don't know what day you're on yet. But best of luck for the trilogy.
Saturday.
Yes.
We'll see you there.
We'll see you there, guys. Right. All the best.
Right. Thank you very much.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah.
Well, there you go. The Hardwick brothers, Harry and George there, that are going to be fighting as part of the Cage Warriors trilogy on Saturday. Saturday. But that was a really interesting chat. That's the first time that obviously we've done the post-fight shows and stuff with Pip, or pre-fight shows with Pip and Brian.
Yeah.
But that's like a collective chat. This is the first time we've actually interviewed like a duo.
Yeah.
And it was quite interesting. It was quite fun.
Definitely. To see the sort of dynamic between the brothers and, you know, obviously you mentioned the Diaz brothers and the Edwards brothers and stuff. And when we got asked, you know, if in the lead up to Cage Warriors, we speak to the Hardwick brothers, we was like, yep, absolutely. Let's do it. This would be an interesting, you know, new thing for us to speak to brothers. And it doesn't take long before you realise that one's got more to say. The other one's the more sort of darker, brooding brother that's, you know, less kind of more choice with his words. And it just makes for a really sort of interesting dynamic. And And I was just loving watching their little kind of sort of side eyes to each other and that as and what annoys them and just the stuff that they were coming out with really was making me chuckle. And I still don't know if they were trying to make us chuckle or not.
I think they're actually very, very funny people, and I think they know. And I think George in particular is someone that I think he's a clever guy, and he knows he's saying funny things, but he delivers it so dry. But I think it's great. I think, you know, we've got the Edwards brothers, we've got the Diaz brothers. I mean, it's something that is. It happens in MMA, it happens in sport, and I do think there's something really interesting about watching brothers in this sport and the difficulties of cornering each other, but the wanting to be there, and then the emotional difficulties of particularly for Harry, of watching George fight. George, on the other hand, just not bothering watching Harry fight was quite good.
I love that all he took from that trip, the thing that blew his mind the most and it moved him the most, was the fact that they put four olives with pips in on his pizza.
And I love that it absolutely blew Harry's mind that there was some really good garlic bread in Liverpool.
How do they get the garlic butter that good?
But yeah, there you can say, you know, two great characters there you can watch at the Cage Warriors trilogy, people we can all get behind and enjoy watching their fights. And as fighters, they are great. I mean, I wasn't lying that Harry Hardwick's fight against Ndoye at the last Cage Warriors trilogy was an amazing fight. It really, really was great. If you've got a UFC Fight Pass, or I don't know if you'd be able to get it elsewhere, I'm not condoning doing any illegal streaming, guys, but go on to the Fight Pass if you've got Fight Pass and get that Ndoye versus Hardwick fight up. That was a really good fight.
Absolutely.
And yeah, let's look forward to the Cage Warriors trilogy and them fighting on that on Saturday night. I think it's going to be brilliant. I think that's also the night where the vacant flyweight title, I think, is up for grabs. Creasy versus Shanks in that one. And yeah, and so if this is your first time listening to us, please go and check out the back catalogue, where we've got other Cage Warriors fighters like Nathan Fletcher and Paul Hughes on this week of specials for the upcoming trilogy. But we've also chatted to Nathan Fletcher previously before, along with Matt Bonner, who won the Cage Warriors middleweight title recently prior to the last trilogy. And obviously Graham Boylan as well, the head honcho himself, the main man, president of Cage Warriors, Graham Boylan. We chatted to him before the last trilogy, and we will be chatting to him before this trilogy as well.
Absolutely. And if you like some larger than life characters, then go check out our chat with former Cage Warriors champ Paddy the Baddy Pimlet. There's two episodes with Paddy on there. Another Cage Warriors success story that off the back of the last trilogy is now signed to the UFC. Hilariously fun, energetic episode with the legend that is Ian Garry. Go check that out. I know that's been one of your all-time faves so far, Blake Harrison.
It has. I mean, he sung Grease Lightning on the show. It was a brilliant moment. It's a moment I'll love forever. And I think Ian Garry is someone that the ceiling's incredibly high for. I've said that about a few fighters recently, but Ian Garry, there's a lot of buzz around Ian. He's making his debut at Madison Square Garden in, what, like a couple of months or a month or something like that. So that's going to be incredible. He's made the move to Sanford MMA as well. He's training with the likes of Gilbert Burns, Vicente Luque, Derek Brunson. I mean, the guy, I think, is going to be an absolute beast. And then on top of that, we got the other kind of creme de la creme of British MMA. We've got Paul Craig, an episode of Paul Craig, Arnold Allen, Brett Johns, Jack Shaw, who had a fantastic win on September 4th, and, you know, should be fighting his way into the bantamweight rankings at some point soon in the UFC.
Mark Goddard. Obviously, we expect to see Mark, I imagine, in the octagon, reffing at the trilogy. He was there at the last one, and obviously, you know, reffing some of the biggest fights, not just in the UK and Europe, but obviously UFC legend now, right? You know, I'd go as far as to say he's a UFC legend, is Mark Goddard. Incredible referee. Great chat with him. We really go in on that chat as well. Another former Cage Warriors legend, another former UFC legend. We chatted to Dan Hardy, and what a chat that was as well. Incredible insight into the mind of an MMA an MMA legend, and just getting into that kind of, you know, how his mind is a pretty beautiful thing to behold. And when he starts chatting, it's like you know, when we finished that chat, we both said that could have gone on for 3-4 hours. It was just so easy, wasn't it? And just so interesting.
Absolutely. And then on top of that, I got one of the most respected voices in the MMA game, Sean Sheehan from Severe MMA podcast, who it was a great chat with him, talking about how he got into MMA and also just MMA, the sport in general, what's going on with it now, and how he best covers the sport, and also scoring and the judging criteria and stuff like that. There's a lot of people out there that will watch MMA fights and score them incorrectly because they don't fully understand the judging criteria, and we get into that a little bit with Sean Sheehan, and that's a really good chat as well. And then we've got the amazing kind of champions and former champions like Alexander Volkanovski, who by the time this goes out hopefully would have just beaten Brian Ortega. Can I be biased? I'm going to be biased.
Yeah,
I want him to win.
We can, of course, we want him to win.
And then Tyron Woodley as well, who sadly didn't get the job done against Jake Paul, but he's still a fantastic guest that we've had on the show. And then all of the Fight or Flight episodes with people like Lee Mack, James Arthur, Emily Head from The Inbetweeners, Laura Checkley from King Gary. Any others I'm missing there?
Angela Hill, Jojo Calderwood.
Angela Hill, Jojo Calderwood.
Oh, there's loads. I mean, we could keep rabbiting on. The easiest thing to do is just go over wherever you get your podcasts and have a little look. And just while you're there, click subscribe. And if you're feeling really generous, then leave a little comment. We're on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook. Drop us a message on there. Let us know who you'd like to see us, you know, chat to. And if you like watching us, then it's really easy to do that now because we've got a YouTube channel. So you can watch all of the episodes now over on our YouTube channel. Or just keep listening on your podcast, as you have been doing for so long. And for doing that, just a big thank you, because this podcast has grown into something that I don't think, you know, Blake and I imagined it ever would when we said, should we just have a chat about MMA? We did not think we'd be having the conversations with the guests that we've just spoken about. So, yeah, just an opportunity to say cheers, really.
Yeah. Thanks very much, guys. Very much appreciated. Now, please, go on with your day. Enjoy yourselves. Be kind to yourselves. Be kind to others.
Fly high.
Fly
prosper.
High. Prosper. Don't know what we're doing now.
Yeah, I don't know why.
No. See you later, guys. Bye.